This week's teaching from Blaine Rings in the series Everything is Spiritual is related to movies and how we see our story and the image of God in those movies. Due to licensing agreements and the length of the clips, I had to cut the clips out of the podcast, so it might be a little bit difficult to follow without having seen the clips. But anyway, I wanted to let you know what the clips are from so that if you wanted to try and imagine at least the clips that were watched, the first one is from Patch Adams, the second two are from The Help, one from Schindler's List, two from The Shawshank Redemption, and the final one from Dead Poets Society.
What kind of church is this? Last week we're listening to Stephen King out of his book. The week before that, we're listening to the Rolling Stones and them kinky Avid brothers. And now we're watching film, some movies. That's my kind of church, is it not? Just a little side note on this scene that I just want to touch. It has nothing to do with the movie itself, but the scene. The children in there weren't actors and actresses. They were Make-A-Wish Foundation who had asked to be in a film. And I saw that, and I started blubbering right away. You know. So anyway, does anybody here remember, you might be old enough, some of you, if you're my age, when you'd walk, I heard that chuckle, Miss Harris, when you'd walk into class at school, junior high or high school, you came into class, and sitting right here was a movie projector with the big reels. Do you, anybody remember this? What was that feeling when you came into class? Oh, yeah, baby. Three things happened. You knew you were watching a movie. There was a substitute. And expectations in the classroom were zilch. Were they not? And we didn't even care what movie they were watching. We were watching a movie. Well, that's today. We got the films. I'm the substitute. And expectations are zilch, okay? So it's good to have you here this morning. If you don't know what's going on, well, let me tell you my goals first. My goals in this is this morning. There's two basic goals. One is to reinforce the last 3 weeks what we've been talking about. And that is this story of God that comes out in our stories, whether it be music, whether it be literature, or today, whether it be film. That God's story, that we get reinforced and go, oh, this really makes sense. I had someone come up to the after the first service and go, not until we discussed it, it made perfect sense. Before that, I didn't see it, but I see it. So we're going to watch 5 films, 8 clips, in about 45 minutes. The second thing I want to come out of this is that we have a little fun in doing it. One time I was in church, it was quiet, very conservative, and a kid was grinning, turned around, a little 3-year-old, smiling at everybody, and the mother paps him and goes, shh, quit smiling, we're in church. Well, you can smile and giggle and laugh all you want, okay? Fair enough? So those are the 2 things I want this morning. So if you're here for the first time, here's what's going on. We're in a series called Everything is Spiritual. And what I will is put my own spin to this, own words to this, that we see God's story in our stories. Have you seen that this last couple weeks when we've been talking about Stephen King? If you can pull God out of Stephen King books, I mean, you can pull about anywhere. And so today is going to be film. And we've done this with all art, with both nature and art the last 3 weeks, different venues of art. And basically, art bears 2 things from humanity. And that's because people bear 2 things. The first is this thing we've talked about, the Imago Dei, the image of God, which we find on page 1 of the Bible. It says that God created us in his image. And because we have this beautiful image in us, it leaks out in other ways. It leaks out in culture. It leaks out in our behavior. It leaked out when they hired somebody to come get Make-A-Wish Foundation. That is the Imago Dei. Beauty leaks out of the Imago Dei. The second thing art has in it that leaks and sometimes pours out is what happened if you turn a couple pages to page 3 in the Bible, and it's called the fall. That's where basically we said, hey, thanks but no thanks, God. I got this covered. We took our independence from there, and it started going downhill tragic, sad, broken, and we kind of carried it with us in life ever since. But it's these two things that we're talking about, we bear either this image or the fall. To one degree or another, we bear both of these things in us, and it comes out in our art. Sometimes we touch things as humans, and it's ugly, it's bad, it's sad, it's broken. And then other times, we touch things, and there is beauty, and there is goodness, and the broken is fixed, the old is made new. This story of redemption that is just filtered through the stories of the Old and New Testament and filtered through the stories of her own art that we have. So today we are doing that. We're doing God's story in our stories. And today happens to be film that we're going to talk about and show this and kind of prove the point. And why I like stories and why God uses stories, the Bible is basically, well, it's not an owner's manual. It's definitely not a guide to life. It's not a systematic theology either. And it's not a science book. It is basically a story. And if anybody asks you, it is basically the story of us and God and how our stories either are separate or converge. And the Bible is just that. And God uses stories because it touches us at our basic need. It is deep within us, that stories. You notice he doesn't use the top seven things we do. One time he did the top 10. That's worked pretty good, but I think he decided to stop on that one. And he talks to us through stories. So with this little light summer series we're doing, I got to ask you, and here's what I need from you. Can you listen to me? Can you listen? Here's what I need from you. We are basically a white church, which means you sit there like a painting and don't talk to me, right? It's like, feel like a Michelangelo. I need you. I had some African Americans this morning go like, I understand what that means. Man, they were talking to me. And then this first service started talking to me. So I need you to have a little more ethnicity to you than white. Okay, do you understand what I'm saying here? There you go. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about this concept. And what we're going to have today is the Imago Dei lab. Anybody remember lab from college? Labs were the classes we took after the lecture series, right? And we took it for this hands-on to drive home the point and got involved. Whether you're cutting open a shark or, you know, biology or zoology lab, chemistry lab, remember chem lab? So this morning's lab is Imago Dei lab. That means I need your participation in it as your professor. Fair enough? Thank you. Gosh, I love this. And that was a white guy even. God bless you. So thank you. And that's what I'm looking for this morning. And we're going to find as we watch each of these clips that God's story sometimes doesn't leak. It oozes out of everything. And I want to reinforce that. And I want you to see that and get involved. And so it's not me departing my very little wisdom to you. It's us teaching us. Got the concept? Good. Thank you again over there. We're sending you to St. Paul's. You can learn some of it at St. Paul's. So here's a couple things I want us to do as we look for God's stories in our stories. The first thing, I got to give a disclaimer. Some of the clips are PG-13, okay? There is some swearing in it. So if you don't like swearing outside of church, you might want to go. McDonald's is right down here. And if you don't like swearing outside church, you're not going to like it in church. But there is two swear words in two of the clips we're using. So just to pre-teach you, if you have kids, you go, I don't want to hear this, but they're not. They're swear words. I don't know what to say. But I'm just pre-teaching you. Fair enough? Okay. So if you're uncomfortable with that, get you to go out. So the first clip, film, should have been entitled The Gospel According to Minnie, Abilene, and Skeeter. What film am I talking about? The Help. How many have seen The Help? About half of you. I'm going to read a little section, kind of what it is to set up this first scene. And remember, I want you to extract this story of God in here. Where do we see the image of God, the story of God in this theme? But here's how it sets up. And here's what I love about this film. When my wife first asked me to go to it, I'm like, oh, I thought it was going to be like Traveling Pants meets Sense and Sensibility, Pride and Prejudice, you know. I was like, ugh. Oh. But when I went to see it, it was nothing like that. It was a battle movie up there with Saving Private Ryan. I mean, it is a movie about boldness, courage, and telling your story. So here's how the synopsis I pulled offline states about it. It says, set in Mississippi during the 1960s, and there's true events that fill this, not a true story, but true events that fill this. Skeeter is a Southern society girl who returns from college determined to be a writer, but turns to her friends' lives in a Mississippi town. She turns up upside down when she decides to interview the black women who have spent their lives taking care of prominent Southern families. Abilene, which is Skeeter's best friend's housekeeper, is the first to open up. And to the dismay of her friends in the tight-knit black community, Abilene continues her collaboration. And soon, more women come forward to tell their stories. And as it turns out, they have a lot to say. And I will never eat pie chocolate the same again. And you understand what I mean by that. So let's go with the first clip. Let's do some extracting.
We're going done and now.
What'd you see? Where did you see this leaking of this image of God, this Imago Dei, and what the director or whoever's trying to pull across, what did you see? Talk to me, Goose. Another movie reference.
People
want to
be known.
I love that. What I said in the first service, and this is kind of my takeaway from it, it's kind of the same thing. We all have a story. Everybody in here has a story. Abilene had a story, but when Minnie came in, she had a story, and then she wanted to tell it. And then she realized, I got to get others to tell it for what was taking place. We all have a story that needs to be told. And I think about what that means to us as individuals when we have a story to tell. I mean, basically, what we have here, I said the Bible is essentially a story about God and us. And through God's story, people like Abraham, Rahab, Peter, tell their story. People of our generation, Martin Luther King, Mother Teresa, have a story to tell because of God's story. My wife, my son, they have a story to tell because of God's story. We all have a story to tell, and it needs to be told. Does that make sense? That's what I pull. But that's kind of the same thing you're saying, I think. What else? You see anything else?
Injustice.
And is the Bible not drip with what we need to do with injustice? The poor. When I was looking up the quotes from this film on poor injustice, oh my gosh, it is filtered through the Old and New Testament. What we need to do and how we need to treat the poor, injustice, and standing up. Good. What else you see? Anything else? Say it again, loud. Made in the image of God, we start on the same level. Expound a little bit. We're all equal. But as time goes and things goes and cultures goes, it doesn't always work out that way. Absolutely. Any other thoughts on that? And I'll tell you what's great about our stories. I love it. Have you ever been here when we have a thing and someone shares their journey, what I call journey? My Crystal and I call it our journey together. It's our journey, and you have a journey, a story. It's the same thing. And when they get up here and share it, it's usually messy. It's usually beautiful. It's a combination of these that we bring together, but it's their story. And I'd love to hear the journeys that people have. And out of that messiness, there's beauty. Out of the ashes come beauty. But sometimes people tell their story up here, and they're still in the ashes. There's no beauty yet left. But what the story tells, and God's story tells, is there is beauty at some point out of the ashes. At some point, I promise. Good. Any other thoughts? Oh, not sometimes. That's what he does. I think of Joseph is the most unlikely. He was, what, number 11 out of 12? His family was a little nuts. I mean, you're telling, and he was a little arrogant. I'm going to be the star. You're going to be the moon. You're going to bow down to me. He was unlikely. Jesus, for the Messiah, was unlikely. God uses the most unlikely people. Someone in the other service had brought up the idea of what I loved here and I didn't think of, is that in Isaiah, it talks about filling the gulf, filling that chasm with others. And that's what is happening there. When Skeeter's enabling, and Minnie, and everybody's doing it, is bridging a chasm there. Good. I'm going to set up the second clip here. Second clip is out of The Help. I could have gone The Help all day long. I mean, it was just fabulous. Again, war movie in a different level. And this is the very end of the film. And there's a girl named Hilly who's through. Anybody remember Hilly? What a winch. And I'm telling you, Southern winch. And you will see here, and she is, well, just watch it and let's chat.
Ain't you tired?
That is a powerful scene. What did you see? Where is that image of God? Where's that story coming out there? Are you sleeping? Tell me. From limb. Yeah, I'm not violent, but I told Crystal, she just a smack across the face, but no. Where did you see the image of God? Did you? Did you see the image of God, the story of God in that story? Seth? Absolutely. That's beautiful. Proverbs 28:1 says, the wicked flee, though no one pursues. Millie fleed, but the righteous are as bold as lions. Was she bold doing what she did? Oh my God, extremely bold. Extremely bold. And I love what she says. Ain't you tired, Miss Hilly? Ain't you tired? And I'm going to tell you from his point of view, sin, whatever you want to call it, missing that mark and continuing to miss the mark is tiring. I'm telling you, if you are having an affair out there or what I call a pre-affair, you've got to keep your text all in line. You've got to get a separate phone. You've got separate emails. You've got to keep your story straight from your girlfriend or your spouse. And don't you think you'd get tired? Sin makes you tired after time. Crystal.
I saw boldness and truth.
Boldness and truth, and then she saw compassion.
And I also saw that sin affects more than just the person sinning.
Did you hear that? Sin affects more. She saw boldness, compassion. And then she saw the tentacles of sin because it affects more than just the person. It starts reaching into other people's lives. I mean, we see this if you have kind of prodigal children. We see this in businesses. We've seen major corporations crumble, nations crumble because the sin, the roots go in deep and hurt hundreds, thousands of others sometimes. Your sin isn't just affecting you. It's everybody. I love that about this scene. It does show that. That's beautiful. That was her boss. Exactly. What I love is there's two looks here. There's the look of bad, which is Hilly, and the look of Abilene. And which look do you listen to? And she listened to Hilly's. The other thing that stands out to me, this is the word boldness. The word courage. And I think the Old and New Testament is just spattered with the stories. That's what it is. It is boldness and courage all the way through. We find Daniel. We find David. We find Joseph. We find Moses. I mean, it takes courage. Pharaoh. You're going against Pharaoh. But in the New Testament, my favorite issue of courage is this. It's not an individual. It was that first early church. John and Peter were out preaching on the first day, and the first prayer that is recorded of the early church, they got thrown in jail for the night. They got roughed up a little bit. Now, we as Americans, if we got thrown in jail and roughed up for our Jesusness, for our story, what would we usually pray for first? Give me a little safety, God. Keep me safe. Keep us safe. You know, when we drive, we go, Father, give us a safe trip. You know, there's countries out there, they would laugh at us for those kind of prayers sometimes. And what the first church prays for in Acts 4, it's a whole long prayer, but they get to the point. And basically what this prayer says is this. Now, Lord, consider their threats. This is the Sadducees. And enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Now, I'm just telling you what I'm thinking. Isn't boldness what got you and John into this trouble? Don't you smell like jail right now because you were bold and you're asking for more of this stuff? Boldness is a beautiful theme that God has. Whether it be with your, I don't care if you're a Christ follower or not, don't like this Jesus thing. Boldness for the right cause is a beautiful thing. So you don't have to be a Christ follower to like boldness. Any other thoughts on this? We'll go to the next clip then. The next clip, let me set up real quick. Movie we've all seen. I've tried to pick movies that we've mostly all seen and clips that we would know so we can relate to it. And this is a true story in history. It's about Oscar Schindler. Everybody see Schindler's List? Who saw Schindler's List? About half. I'm surprised. It's a movie you got to see at least once. It's like The Passion of the Christ. After you see it, you go, I don't think I can see it again, but I'm glad I saw it. And then you won't sleep for four nights. So it's Schindler's List, and it's what's the story of Oscar Schindler, who basically, up to this point, he started the war building a factory, and he got Jewish workers. He paid the Nazis for the Jews, and the reason he got Jews and not the Poles, because he had to pay the Nazis less for the Jews than the Poles. Make sense? And he did it from what I call a capitalist point of view. He was a capitalist without a conscience. But what the movie does a beautiful job, and Spielberg does a beautiful job, he starts evolving and seeing what's going on and realizing the outcome. And his mind starts, moves from profit, moves to humanity. I love the story. And this is a great part where he starts putting the list together, where he is actually paying all this buku of money he's made. He loses it during the war because of this reason. So look at this. Tell me where we pull out the image of God.
Oscar, there's a clerical error here.
What'd you see? What stood out in this image of God leaking out here, the story of God? Sacrifice. Is that a story of God's? Is that a story of God's sacrifice? Wow. What is a person worth? No, what is a person worth to you? The value of individuals and the value of lives. I think of that verse when I see him spending his money, all of he made, and the only time after the war, he never made a business run again. That verse that says, but the whole world, if you give up your life for your own soul, for all the money in the world, I don't mean diddly squat. The value of human. What else? I saw someone's hand back here. Exactly. Lead him to a place of salvation. Absolutely. Absolutely. Desperation. And who's desperate? Yep. And what I get out of that is desperation, and he is driven to get this done. More, more, more. No, not give or take. How many do we have? Here's what I extract from this piece, and it's a little more ethereal and broader than that, but those exactly right. Here's what I... Schindler was not only giving them this sense of their physical life, that he's saving their physical life, right? He's also giving them a better life now. Can you see that? He was asking the other guy who ran one of the businesses, you give him clothing out of your own stuff and food out of your own pocket and your own money. To me, that is an important piece because we as the church, we are stewards of eternal life, are we not? And we believe that everybody is going to spend some place for eternity, do we not? Forever. So we are the stewards of eternal life, but we are also, as the church, stewards of a better life now. And that comes into play this way. When we build homes in the mountains of Honduras, what are we giving people? Come on, African-American congregation. We are stewards of a better life now. Thank you. When we feed, as in Sunday morning, homeless, we are the stewards of a better life now. When we give for Christmas presents to Africa, digging wells and water, we are stewards of a better life now. When we read to a woman in hospice and make her smile, we as a church, as that body of Christ, as Christ followers, are stewards of a better life now. And believing that everybody spends eternity somewhere forever, and that God has sent his answer to fix that problem, We are believers in a better life now as well as for eternity. Can you see that in this clip? I mean, that is God's story just pouring down. We're going to go to the next clip. This movie, if you have not seen it, this film, you've been living on some galactic planet far, far away. And you don't own TNT. So the issue is Shawshank Redemption. How many seen Shawshank? Okay. First of all, this is the unabridged version, so this is where the last swear word comes in. So understand that. Not this first scene, the second scene. So we're going to watch this. To set it up, does everybody know basically the story of the film? About a guy who goes to prison for shooting his wife, or allegedly, he really doesn't. But he goes to prison, spends 20 years. He makes friends with one of my favorite, what I think is most distinguished actor probably of our time. Now put that in your head. Who, I want you to think in your mind, don't say it out loud. Who is the most distinguished actor of your time? Put it in there. In the count of three, I want you to tell me who it is, okay? Does everybody have it? Okay, on the count of three, I want you to say it out loud who is the one of the most distinguished actors of our time. One, two, three. Well, you're right. He took my joke. I was going to say, you're right. It wasn't Justin Timberlake. It's Justin Timberlake. But we're talking about the guy who plays Red. Do you know who plays Red in the film? Morgan Freeman. And I think Morgan Freeman is a fabulous actor. So we're going to watch this scene. And you've seen it before. You've seen the movie. It stands out. But I want you to extract that story of God. Don't you just love that? A little edgy, but very intentional. What'd you see? Remember this lab? You know, I think of this last week with Martin Luther King's speech 50 years ago. There was goodness, but definitely rebellion. Absolutely. Great point. And again, we see that in the New Testament. We see that in the Old Testament. It is scattered throughout, doing goodness. I mean, John and Peter, when they got thrown in that first night of jail and then beaten the second day, what they do was proclaiming the name. I mean, the Sadducees didn't even want him to use it in the court. Don't use that name again. But for goodness, great. What else do you see? Speak up for me. Beauty. How'd you see beauty? I agree with you. In the music. In the sense, again, I'll go back to us as the church. We are the dispensers, though we do it brokenly because we have that fall in us. But we are the dispensers of goodness and beauty and what is right. We should be on top of the film market. We should be top of the art market because if we dispense beauty. When we go into Honduras, what do we dispense? Beauty. When we feed the homeless, give a well, we dispense beauty. Good. What else? Absolutely. And what I see is, and I called earlier, I call it intentionality. And to me, in our stories, we as Christ followers need to be intentional in how we create our story. Not haphazard. Because up to this point, folks, you have a story, however far it goes back, and you have a place from here to create intentionality in the story. Great. Any other thoughts real quick before we go to the next one? Beauty, exactly. Absolutely, absolutely. The next scene, I'm going to chat on real quick, and it is one of my top five closing scenes in a film, and it's Shawshank. And I want you to look at this at a very broad view, and we're going to talk about it. It's where Andy Dufresne has already escaped from prison, and now Red, after 40 years of prison, is let out into the world. He's paroled. And he is struggling in a paroled world. And Andy's invited him, in a sense, through what you'll see, to come down to Mexico. So let's start it and talk about it. I still tear up when I see that. I'm playing Sally over here. That is a beautiful, beautiful, especially if you haven't seen the movie. It is it ain't just the county jail they're at. It's at a Stephen King prison. It comes from a Stephen King novel. And it is beauty. Tell me what you see there. And think of it in context. Remember, we live life in context. There is a prison for 2 hours and 30 minutes of the movie that is brutal. What do you see here? What stands out? Hope restored, restored relationship. And what do we call that in Jesusdom? When the old is made new. Say it again. And what was the name of this movie? Shawshank Redemption. To me, redemption isn't complete until what? Until we're where? Heaven. That is the heaven scene, my friend. There is a conversion there, and then he hopes. He hopes. I think of my mom when I was going through this week on this version. She's 80 years old. She lost my sister in 1964 at the age of 2 1/2, twin to my brother. Some of you have heard my story, my journey. And I think of her that she will say, I hope heaven and the Pacific is as blue as I've seen. I can't wait, and I hope I can hug my daughter Melissa someday. That is heaven, my friend. So whatever is broken in your life, was ever tragic in your life, I'm promising you, if you believe and understand that your story is so connected to God and that he cares about that, there is hope in that. Can you see that? Do you see anything else here? Wow. River, I love that. Rivers and roads till I meet you. Rivers and roads until I'm where I need to be. Until that act of redemption is secured in this place that I don't understand. Isn't that a great hope for all of us who claim the name of Jesus, who claim to be Christ followers? So my question to you is this, as we close out this, what did you, how many here were here for this series? All of you here for the series? Two of you here. Oh, that's good to know. It's good to keep. I'm glad you came to hear me. Thank you so much. What did you learn in this series? Beauty in the little things, whether it be in nature and beauty in the big things. I've seen some of those things with the novas out there and the black holes and the Hubble Space Station taking pictures. I mean, those are fabulous. But in the little things and how a cell works, in little things. What's that? Oh, even through our pain, God makes us known. Makes himself known. Absolutely. I just don't want you to take away from this just this theme that Charlie talked about last week, though it's very good, to look at movies, film, to look at literature, to look at music differently. That's good, to see what else is there. How the story of God comes through, I think that's extremely important. But there's something else I want you to look at that is so much deeper, that affects us so much more, and we're going to play it in the next scene. But we're not going to discuss the scene. We're going to play it the next one. Flash. It's what movie? Dead Poets Society. And Robin Williams is a literature teacher who it's just more than poetry. And he quotes Walt Whitman here, which is a great, I have another sermon point that I really planned for today, and then God gave me this thing to do. That I want to play, but I want you to listen to the poem, and then that is our charge, okay?
What will your verse be?
It's not just how we look at film, but I need that question answered. What will my verse be? What will my story read? And like I say, some of you are at halftime, I'm probably in the fourth quarter of life, but you're at a certain place in life. You've lived this much, and you've told your story up to here. And like some of us, there's part of my story I don't want anybody to know but my wife. It's not pretty. It's ugly. But the great thing is, on September 1st, I can continue to be intentional about my story. Whether it be people in Honduras, homeless people, people at your work, in your neighborhood. Intentionality about your story. That's what I want us to see from here. It is our story in play with God's. And here's what some of you may be out there again, don't know about this Jesus stuff, and you see this story of God, but it hasn't converged with your story. And that's what Jesus came for. That's what Jesus' story is all about, that we come together. He died on the cross because of that Imago Dei, because of us. And so we could have our stories joined together, that we live in God's story. Does that make sense? That we live intentionality through that salvation he gives. I'm going to play this last scene, and this last scene is our closing, so you can leave while it's going on. The last service stayed. It's kind of like the closing credits, so you can go ahead and play it. But I want you to think, you can turn it down just a bit, a common thread. What was the common thread in all these films? Was it about the person, or was it about something bigger? It's about something bigger. Your story, if you make it about you, it doesn't turn out pretty. Families fall into dysfunction, fall apart. Corporations fall apart when the story is made about just themselves. My question is what story do you want played out from now to when it's said and done, your last days? I think of this as Schindler. This is Schindler's playout story. This is how it ends for Schindler. He got a divorce after the war. He didn't make much business. But his impact was on 1,100 Jewish people who would have been killed otherwise. And watch how it plays out here. But you can leave. So I wish you goodness and grace for your holiday weekend.